What kind of advice did your parents give you when you were growing up? What kind of instruction did they give you? What kind of advice? What kind of help? What kind of information? How did they mentor you? How did they say things to help you along and protect you, to help you to know what is right and to help you to know what is wrong? A lot of people grow up without good advice from their parents. Many of them do not even grow up with both parents. I believe the current statistics are around 18% of our young people are in a single parent home, and it's usually the father that is gone. So first of all, a lot of young people don't even have both parents growing up. But if they had one or even both, what kind of instruction or advice are they getting from their parents? What did you get from your parents growing up? A lot of times young people will get advice from their parents involving a lot of physical things, things involving what they're supposed to eat and their clothes and how to take care of themselves in a physical way. Sometimes when they get up to school age, they might give them some help with schooling. Even then, sometimes they don't get proper help. But a lot of it, and most of it, has to do with what we might call the physical, earthly things of this life that parents will give their kids some advice about. But often they do not get any spiritual advice to help them have a right relationship with God and to help them to navigate life with spiritual principles, because there's just more and more parents who are secular and humanistic and atheistic. They don't want to have anything to do with God or the Bible, and they're certainly not going to raise their kids that way. So what kind of advice did you get from your parents growing up? This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we're going to begin a series of lessons from the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at what I'm going to call paternal appeals. Appeals from a father to a son. And these appeals are bits of advice. They are invitations to listen to a father, and the mother sometimes is also mentioned, to listen to parents. And Solomon is giving this advice. The Proverbs of Solomon, other proverbs in the book, are written by other individuals and given by other wise individuals. But Solomon is going to give some advice to his son. And we're going to look at those over the next few weeks in our Let the Bible Speak program, because it's a reminder of what we need today. And if you hear something, and you probably will, if you hear something that you did not hear from your parents growing up, I want you to know that we need to hear it even if we're older. And we need to sit up and take notice. We may be in our 20s or 30s or 40s or even older, and we might be hearing something that we never heard growing up. Now's the time to make that change in our life and apply these things that would make us better. And even though we're talking in the Old Testament, these same spiritual principles are found in the New Testament for Christians today. When we will become a Christian like we're supposed to be and obey the gospel, there are New Testament principles that speak to these same things, and we will be applying these things as a Christian. So let's turn back, and if you are in a place where you have a Bible and you'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 8. We're going to read each of these paternal appeals, fatherly advice. And the first one is going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. After an introductory comment on what the Proverbs are and what they can do for you in Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, we begin to read this first fatherly appeal. And it's found in chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. And the appeal is simply this, and it's a great piece of advice. And that is, young people need to be careful about their friends and the friends that they choose and the friends that they listen to. That's not being taught today. Parents are not careful to guard their children's friendships, especially in the area of social media and the relationships that they're having with other people virtually and in the realm of technology on their phone. Sometimes parents, we will watch physical relationships, who comes over to the house or not, who their child is going to make friends with at school or not, a neighborhood child, a next door neighbor, something like that. Parents will kind of have an eye on something like that, but often they are clueless as to who they are talking to on their phone. And Instagram and Snapchat and a host of other social media forums, people have virtual friends, if you will, and the parents don't know anything or maybe don't even care anything about that. And friendships, whether they are physical or virtual, are destroying the lives of many young people because there's a lot of wicked and ungodly people out there, and you make connections and friendships with them, they will take you down a bad path. And so in this first fatherly appeal, the father says, don't join in with these sinners who are going to take you down the wrong path. So let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. So what we're going to look at over the next few weeks are what I'm going to call these parental or fatherly appeals, and they begin the same way. My son, hear this, and my son, hear that. Again, we may not have had parents to help us in these spiritual matters, but now that we've gotten older, we've got our Bible, and we can gain these same bits of wisdom and start applying them for our lives today. And maybe you're a parent listening, you can begin to share these things with your children. But Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So the first thing that we need to notice here is that it's important for parents to give instruction to children on spiritual matters, matters relating to their soul. It's not enough just to talk with them about what they're supposed to eat for breakfast in the morning and what they're supposed to wear and put on sunscreen and do your homework. Those are great things, but we've also got to be teaching our children spiritual principles. So the first thing I want us to notice is that we need to be appealing to our children and talking with them about spiritual things. Number two, he's going to go into, when sinners tell you to do something, say no to them. I believe it was Nancy Reagan back in the 80s that did the Just Say No program to drugs, and that was good. But we need to say no to anything that would entice us to sin. And so the second thing that I want us to notice is in verse 10 that you're going to have sinners come up to you, so-called friends, and they want to invite you to come do bad things. You have to say no to that. And so the second thing is you've got to have fortitude and strength to say no. And don't worry about the repercussion and the backlash. Just say no. And don't get bullied and pushed into doing something you don't need to be doing from God's standpoint. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. We would say today, just say no. If they say, come with us, and then he's going to give some specific things that they're wanting to do, But whether today it's these same things or other things, it's the same point. Don't go with them. So if they say, for example, verse 11, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, or the grave, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. So you're going to have people coming to you saying, let's go do this. Let's smoke pot. Let's smoke some weed. Let's take some heroin and cocaine and fentanyl and meth. And let's go rob a store. Let's go rob somebody and try to steal their wallet or their purse. And gas prices are so high, and rather than us getting a job and being responsible, let's just go out and steal from time to time. Or let's get mad at somebody and road rage. Or let's go vandalize somebody because we're all upset. I saw a news story just today about some girls up in New York City. They were asked to pay for a small condiment in a restaurant because inflation. They didn't want to pay it, so they jumped over the counter and started assaulting the workers and tearing up the place and tearing down the store, and the people in the background were just hooping and hollering and loving it. Of course, you got your phone out filming it, and everybody's all cheering them on and everything. And that's how many people do today. So let's get mad and tear down the place. Say no to that. Have enough wisdom and smarts and brains to say no. Don't join in with that. And then the next thing Solomon's going to say is why. There's a reason to stay away from this. So let's look at it. Verse 14, throw in your lot among us, we will all have one purse. And so notice the line that is given there. You can be like us. You can be in the in crowd. You can be in the group. This group will accept you. And that's very popular today because there's a lot of loners out there. They don't have God and Jesus in their life and other good Christians. They're on their own. It's themselves and their phone and their depressed single world. And so this idea of throw in your lot with us, that's actually very appealing to a lot of people. Hey, it gives me a group that I can be with. Verse 15. Don't do it, and here's why. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, and here's why. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. And so they're actually just setting a trap for themselves. It's going to bring nothing but heartache and sorrow and problems. Some of it will come if you get arrested with the law. Some of it will come like with drugs and other things. You're just going to tear up your own body and mind. You're going to waste away. There's going to be financial problems, physical problems. There's going to be social problems. You might even have problems with the law and end up in jail. There's going to be all kinds of problems. Don't do it. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. You're going to have a problem. So this first parental appeal is stay away from sinners who entice you to go do wrong. Think ahead. Don't buy into that line of throw in your lot with us. You can be a part of a really cool group, and the group might just be one or two other people. It doesn't have to be a big old group. You stay away from that. Don't buy into that lie, because it's nothing but you spreading a net for your own, like a trap for your own life. It's just not worth it. And oh, that we would have more parents who would teach their children that very thing. Tell them to say no to what's on that phone. Tell them to say no to what's on that chat, that text, and whatever they're doing, whether it's in person or whether it's virtual. And so the first parental appeal. The second parental appeal comes in chapter 2 in verse 1, if you'd like to turn over there. And this second parental appeal is short. It's basically this: get wisdom. Get wisdom. And he's going to define what wisdom is. Now, it's important for young people to learn a lot of things in life. In fact, young people aren't learning as much of the things of this life, let alone the Bible, that they need to learn. I'm talking about math and science and English and history and just basic things that they need to know. They're not even learning that. They know their phone, and they don't know a whole lot more than that. They can tell you all about that phone, but they can't tell you much more outside of that. And maybe you've seen some of these stories where a news reporter will go out and they'll interview young people and just ask basic questions. You know, who was our first president? And just basic things like that. And they can't answer that. One earlier this week, they did around the 4th of July. Why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Nobody knew. And then somebody said, just a basic math question, if 20% of 100 is 20, what is 15% of 100? Nobody knew the answer. 42, 38, 65. People don't know basic things in life, let alone the most important things that they need to know, and that is the wisdom that comes from God's Word. We are seeing the dumbing down of America. It's amazing. And I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and I'm not the smartest person in the room. But I hope I have some basic knowledge of things that I need to have to get through life. That's why we see a lot more people not wanting to finish high school, go into higher education, get a good job. They don't want to learn anything. They want to get paid to sit around and surf on their phone. And so this second paternal appeal, fatherly appeal, is get wisdom. And in particular, we're going to learn that that wisdom is the Word of God. And so we're going to learn the importance of getting that. And then the second thing that we're going to learn is what it will do for us if we will have that in our life. So let's look at it. The second paternal appeal, chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. The first thing he says is you have to really put a premium on getting wisdom and insight and understanding. Now, he's going to tell us in just a minute what that wisdom and insight and understanding is. But you've got to get it. You've got to seek it as if it were silver or a treasure. Seek it as if it were a brand new iPhone. You know, we've got the iPhone 13 and the 13 Pro, and probably this fall the 14 is probably going to come out. Just seek it as if it were a brand new iPhone. Well, I got to have my hands on that. Or whatever it is you treasure or value. And then he's going to tell us what that is. It's not math and science and English and history and social studies and geography. Those are great subjects. It's something even more important than that. What is it? Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth, and that's what's recorded in Scripture, that's the Bible, God's inspired word, 2 Timothy 3:16, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So it is not just wisdom of the world, opinions, traditions, I think and I feel, scholarly wisdom from universities and colleges. No, it is the wisdom that comes from God, and it's revealed in God's word. And then the third thing that he's going to say is what it will do for you if you will take the time to read it or hear it. And the beauty of it is, friends, it's right there in your Bible, and Bibles are easily accessible. And if you don't have one and you want me to help you get one, we've got plenty of them here for free at the church building. I'd be glad to give you a Bible. They are everywhere. There's no excuse for not having a Bible. And we open it up and we start reading it, and you and I can sit down, and we can sit down in a public place. I currently have a once a week Bible study going on with a young man at Black Rifle Coffee right here in town. Be glad to meet with you publicly. We can meet at the church building. We can meet in your home. And we can have a Bible study. You can begin to learn the wisdom that comes from God. And what will it do? Number three, look at this. He stores up sound wisdom, verse 7, for the upright. Look at this. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Oh, so it's going to protect us like a shield does. That's right. Guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Oh, okay. So it's a protection. Each day that we go throughout our life following the wisdom of God's word will protect us from bad things. It will keep us away, like we were talking about earlier in chapter 1, from those sinners who are trying to entice us. What else? What other benefits? Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Okay, now I know the right way to go in life. How to right thoughts, right actions, right attitudes. And notice that word equity. Boy, that is being thrown around today. And amen, I'm all for equity. But it's not the equity that we're hearing about in our society today. But true equity following biblical principles. Number one, everybody is truly created equal. Everybody is truly treated equal, but it's also equity and righteousness and justice based upon a law system where the righteous are rewarded and the unrighteous are punished. That is equity also. That's not being talked about today. So it will shield us, it will guard us. It will put us on the path of righteousness and justice, true justice, not our version of it, and equity. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. It will make us feel better. Everybody's depressed. Everybody's on antidepressant drugs today. Suicide rates are up. Depression rates are up. Alcohol rates are up. Drug rates are up. Divorce is up. Much of it is since the pandemic. But we get God's wisdom in our life. It's pleasantness to our soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Again, all of these benefits. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverse speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So it will protect us. And then the next thing he's going to say is he's going to list some individuals and the sins that they are committing, and following God's word will help us to stay away from that. It happens in Clarksville. It happens in Montgomery County, in Tennessee, the United States, and all over the world. We've got to stay away from these people. They are hurting you. They're not helping you. Well, what kind of people are we talking about? Well, let's look at it. Delivering you, verse 12, from the way of evil, from men of perverse speech, that's going all the time, lying and other kinds of things, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. All kinds of sin is going on in the dark. who rejoice in doing evil. That's going on all time, all kinds of things today, hurting others, doing evil, delight in the perverseness of evil. It amazes me how people will do bad things and then they will jump up and down and praise. They will delight in the perverseness of evil. I've seen news clips of people who will beat other people and people are standing around laughing at that. Human nature is the same today as when Solomon was writing this 1,000 years before the time of Christ. It's the same human nature. They are delighting in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. That's going on today. All kinds of devious behavior to hurt other people. And innocent people are getting hurt. Innocent store owners are getting hurt. Innocent bystanders, innocent people in traffic. And people are being devious and laughing about it while they're doing it. And then in verses 16 through 22, or 16 through 19, there is a specific kind of sin that is mentioned, and that is the loose, immoral, sexually immoral woman that entices the man to commit sexual immorality, and that goes on all the time today as well. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. She's supposed to be in a God-ordained marriage with her husband, but she's not satisfied with that, so she's married to one man. That's why she's called an adulteress in verse 16, when she goes out and has sex with other men. Her house, verse 18, sinks down to death and her paths to depart. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. You go do that, oh yeah, it feels good, and it's all fun and everything. But it's sin, and it will take you down the wrong path. So a specific sin of sexual immorality is there. And that is sexual immorality, just having a casual sex with people. It's the rate of that is very high today. The sexual relationship confined to a godly, ordained, sanctioned marriage is laughed at today, and it's on the decline, and just casual sex with people is on the rise. So this father closes with verse 20, "So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it." And we see that all the time today. They shoot themselves. They end up in jail. They ruin their lives. And even if they never have a run-in with the law, they ruin their minds and their bodies with alcohol and drugs and other kinds of stuff. And they're cut off. It's just sad. So friends, let's listen to this fatherly advice. It will help us through life. We need to pass these things on to our own kids. And even if we didn't get it from our parents growing up, we can get it now. And what a great set of advice this is. Stay away from the sinners that entice you and get wisdom, God's wisdom. Thank you for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.